When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Hi everyone, and welcome to this week's episode. My guest today is English professional boxer Chantel Cameron. Chantel is a former world champion in two weight classes, including the former undisputed light welterweight champion, having held the WBC title between 2020 and 2023. And I am so excited, as a huge boxing fan, to have her on the podcast today. Chantel, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm great, thank you. Just got back from Cornwall, so back training today, and I'm excited. Can't wait to get back in the gym. Hate having time off.
What does a typical training session look like for you? Like, how long are you training for?
So usually like hour and a half, 2 hours. Time to do your warm up, do your session, your cool down. Quite a long one.
Hour and a half to 2 hours. Wowza. That is a lot. Especially when you have had a bit of time off. I'm sure that's going to take a little while to ease yourself back in, but that is exciting. Now, look, I really want to hear about your journey into boxing, because I know that when I was reading about you, and obviously I knew a bit about you, but I was doing a bit of research, and I didn't realize that you started boxing quite late. You didn't have like the sort of quote unquote typical entry into the sport. So tell me a little bit about how you got into boxing.
So I started off as a kickboxer. So when I was 10 years old, I done kickboxing. And I'd done that up until 16. Then I'd done Thai boxing for a year. So I won a world title in kickboxing, world title in Thai boxing, only within a year. And then the women's boxing was announced. It's going to be in the London 2012. And it's kind of like, with love, my kickboxing coach kind of like kicked me out and said, I think you could be a good boxer. Whereas I really didn't want to box. I wanted to carry on kickboxing, but there wasn't no career in it. It was kind of just a hobby, but I absolutely loved it. It was my family, it was what I'd done since I was 10 years old, traveled all around the country every weekend with my dad, and it was me and my dad's thing. So when I actually went into boxing, it was kind of a Sarah Blake's, because I didn't want to, but it was like kind of like pressured into it. But the best thing that ever happened to me, and now I'm so grateful that he did give me that kind of push out of the gym to go chase a career in boxing. So I started boxing when I was 18. Which is quite late, because I had to jump in the deep end as well. So because of my kickboxing experience, I had to go straight into the senior ABAs, but I only had 3 boxing fights. So to do that and then go box women that had been boxing for England for years and years was quite a challenge. But I ended up winning the England Nationals and got selected for Team England, won medals internationally, and then I was put on the Team GB quite fast. But the weird thing is, I was actually going to go in the army to box, and had a phone call. I had a letter saying that I had an interview for the army to go on the boxing team. And then as I was going to reply, the director of Team GB rang me the same day saying, I've been selected for Team GB. So just crazy how things worked out.
That is crazy. Very serendipitous, you know, like when the stars align kind of thing.
Yeah.
It sort of sounds like as well, you kind of achieved the biggest achievements you can in kickboxing.
Yeah.
And you know what you were doing before that. So then it sort of feels like boxing was the next progression. And it's really interesting that you say that there's not really a career in kickboxing and stuff, because I do find that, you know, even now it's such a huge sport, but yet you felt that there wasn't necessarily that career progression. So that is really interesting. But I guess you did make the jump to boxing. You were unbelievably successful in that jump. But I guess one of the things that I'm really interested by is you telling me about this, like, you know, this family side of things and feeling as though you were part of something. And I just wonder, as a sport, you know, both kickboxing and boxing, did you ever feel like there was any sense of like difference because you were a woman, or any discrepancy between how much you could progress in the sport, you know, or how much you were getting to fight, for example, and genuinely spar with people? Like, did you feel that there was that inequality, or did it feel like you were all sort of training as one and you never felt like you were any different as such?
So in boxing, it was a lot different. Because when I first walked into the boxing gym, it was like I was an alien. It was like, what is she doing here? And that's why I hated it. And I didn't go back for, I think, about a month or something, because I was like, I cannot deal with that. It was literally like, what is this woman doing as a girl? And like, what is this girl doing in the gym? And even the coach was kind of like, yeah, we don't really take girls. That was my first session. And then I thought, no, I don't want to do this. Then it was my last ever kickboxing fight. It was meant to be my toughest fight. And my kickboxing coach was like, you need to go to the boxing gym because you need to bring something a bit different in this fight where you need your hands to be double as good as my opponents at the time. So I kind of knew that, because the winning mentality in me was like, if he said jump, I said how high? So I thought, I want to do this boxing, fight the bullet and make sure that I've got a massive advantage in this kickboxing fight. So I kind of gritted it out, and then I think it was the second session again, the boxing coach took me on the pads, and because he seen I had a bit of power in me, it was a complete different attitude, because then he was like, oh, we should get you a fight. And I was like, no, I don't want a boxing match. This is just for kickboxing. But because he knew I was preparing for a kickboxing fight, he was training me, but I think he really wanted to angle me to have a boxing fight. So within 4 weeks, I ended up having a boxing match. But it wasn't my plan, because I really didn't want to box. The whole being in the gym as a girl, it was awful at the time. But it's changed massively now. But back then, yeah, it wasn't good to be a woman in a boxing gym, because you really had to like gain everyone's respect. So everyone you train with, you had to gain their respect, you had to gain the coach's respect, and you had to do what the boys done. You couldn't do less because you were a woman, because then you're letting them win. So you have to really like stamp your authority and let them know that you can do just what the guys can do, and you have to gain respect. But in my boxing fights, I can remember there was a lot of discrimination because I was a woman, and especially because boxing is kind of like an old man sport, so the older generation are disgusted to see a woman fighting. And I can remember my first actual boxing fight, my dad had an argument with some man at the bar in a pub, because he was like, women shouldn't be fighting, it's disgusting. And then my dad said to the guy, like, watch her fight. And he did watch me fight, and then afterwards he come and shook my hand and said that I changed his opinion and everything. But back then it was very hard to be a woman boxing in a man's sport.
Gosh, that is crazy. And I think that, you know, you reference her that things are changing, and yeah, we do see that there is a lot of change, not just in boxing but in women's sport in general. We're seeing this huge shift of more money, more coverage, more just people talking about it and interested in it, and the ability to be able to watch women's sport on mainstream TV, for example, it's huge. But hearing stories like that, and I do think that you're absolutely right when it comes to boxing, like,
yeah,
it's probably a bit slower than others in terms of catching up with the ability to support women on the journey to do the same as what men can do in the sport. So I find that really interesting, hearing that you felt that you almost had to work like twice as hard,
yeah,
to earn the respect, which just sounds so crazy, doesn't it? Like, it's such a funny thing. Like, I had to earn the respect in order for people to know that I'm good. And like, that is a crazy thing, but I guess that was your reality and you worked hard to do that.
Even though it has improved, like now, women, we don't get paid the same as the men. Being an undisputed champion, like, I wouldn't get nowhere near what a man would get, not even a quarter. And where I'm from, Northampton, if a male had achieved what I've achieved, it would be everywhere. The face would be planted anywhere, but from my town, what I've achieved is kind of like, I am rewarded and I am praised and stuff, but it's nowhere near the same as a man. And I think it's because women's boxing, we don't do 3 minute rounds, which I think we should. And there's still like the thing that we're women's boxers, so we're still not getting what the men are getting. But it's for us women now that are in this generation that we've got to keep pushing. And that's why I'm such a strong advocate to do 3 minute rounds, because if we do 3 minute rounds, we're standing up and we're fighting for more opportunities and more chance and equal pay. But it's got a long way to go, but it just needs more of a push. And we're having a male-dominated sport, so we have to be strong women and stand up for ourselves. And to be fair, they don't like it. The guys, the men in boxing don't like women standing up and speaking out, because it's kind of like, we should be grateful. But we should be grateful. Everyone should be grateful. But we work just as hard as the men, and we're still getting in the ring. We're doing everything the guys are doing. So I think we should be rewarded similar to the men. Maybe not the same pay, because I think that that's going to be jumping massive hurdles, but there should be an improvement. But it's just going to take a while. But just need more women in the sport to keep pushing and making noise and gaining the respect again, gaining respect to get the same opportunities and the same rewards as the guys again.
And I just think it also comes down to like visibility. You know, yeah. I've really got into my boxing over the last couple of years. Like I've sort of done it on and off over the last few years, and over the last sort of year or so, I've really got into it like quite seriously in terms of, you know, boxing a couple of times a week and really taking like more of the skill element of it more seriously as well. And I think that when I go to boxing, I'm seeing so many women who are now becoming way more interested in not just the fitness element, but actually the sport and understanding the, you know, like I said, the kind of skill of it, the show of a boxing match as well, because it's a performance, isn't it? Like an understanding that whole journey of a boxer. You know, I had actually a guy in here from my boxing gym a couple of weeks ago, and he was professional turned into a trainer. And, you know, we were talking about this sort of this boxing community that it can be quite closed-minded. And I think that boxing gyms like mine, where I've suddenly had my eyes open to the sport, we need just more eyes on it, more people interested, more people understanding the beauty of the sport, I guess, because it is incredible. It's not just about someone knocking someone out, you know.
Not at all,
there's
yeah.
so much more to it. And I think when you can start to get people on that kind of mindset, that's when you start to see that shift of, I guess, people becoming far more interested and far more able to get on board with supporting, particularly the way I see it, like female athletes within the sport, you know, someone like yourself. You know, I do think, and I know that she's a huge rival of yours, but I'm going to mention her name. Like Katie Taylor has done lots for women's visibility within the sport. And as much as I know that there is still so much to come in terms of progress, it is about those small wins and trying to snowball those and allow them to grow and people to, again, like I said, get more interested in the sport.
100%.
Yeah, one of the things that I'm really interested to ask you about, and I think that this is something that fascinates me in not just boxing, but in a lot of professional sports, and particularly solo sports where you're not part of a team, is understanding that kind of trainer-boxer relationship. We know that to be like really crucial within boxing, and that, you know, you always see them going to their like corner of the ring and having that one-to-one, and it is really important. And I wondered if you could talk to me a little bit about the trainers that have had an impact on your career. You know, you reference your kickboxing coach and then moving over to a boxing coach. Are there people that you feel have really helped to shape you as the athlete that you are now?
Yeah, 100%. I think you have to build a strong team. And when people say to me, like, what's the best thing you can tell up and coming boxer, is that trust your team and build a small team that you can rely on and make sure that is your security blanket. Because if you don't have that, it's going to be a very long, hard journey. So for me, my coach has had such an impact. Win, losses, draws, from kickboxing, Thai boxing, to amateur boxing, to pro boxing. You have to have that bond with your coach. And if you don't have that bond and that close relationship, I just don't think it will work. Because when you're in that ring and you're having to take instructions, you've got to look that male, female, because my Thai boxing coach was a female coach. You have to look them in the eye and know that what they're saying, you 100% believe in. So if you have any inkling that you think, no, I don't think that'll work, or I'm not going to do that, then I think that's a relationship breakdown, and you're not in good hands then. Whereas when you're fighting, you want to be in safe hands, and you want to know who you're working with has your best interest and looks after your safety. So you see it in boxing so many times where it's sad to see, but you see a coach letting their fighter take unnecessary punishment. And it's horrible to see, and it annoys me so much. It's like, you're letting your fighter take that punishment because your ego wants to win so much, and the fighter wants to win more than anything. Nobody gets in the ring and wants to lose. But sometimes there's some coaches that think it's more about them than their fighter. And it really upsets me, because it's like, that male or female is in that ring and their health is at risk. They could get badly hurt. And sometimes it's just like, where you need to know that your coach doesn't care if he's got to pull you out, if he knows that you're going to go home safely and you're going to be able to fight another day. Whereas there is some coaches that don't do that, and they'll let you stay in that ring and take an absolute beating, which is just, it's not needed. So for me, it's my coaches, I have to have that bond with and have to have that safety net with them to know that they're going to look after me. And they tell me to jump and I say how high because I've got that much faith in them.
Are there any coach boxer relationships that you look at and you think, oh, I really want to try and replicate that? Like, is there anyone that you sort of really look up to in terms of the bond that that coach and their athlete have?
It's quite hard because you don't know the ins and outs either. So it's quite a tricky one because in professional, it's hard to say, it's horrible to say, but this is a business. And that's something I've been very fortunate to find out about along my journey. And that's why now it's like, if you asked me that question a year or two ago, I'd probably have been able to answer. But with ups and downs, there's also lessons. And I realise that pro boxing, it is a business. And as much as like you think you have that love with your team and that, everyone's getting paid. And sometimes it's a bit like you don't know what's real and what's not. So that's a really good question. And I can't answer that because it's pro boxing and it is a dirty business.
Tell me about that then. Like, I'm interested. So what are sort of the dark sides that you think that people should or possibly don't know about?
Pro boxing is a business. So like you said then, it's a beautiful art and it's very entertaining. But the tough side of it is it's also a lot of politics. There's a lot of money involved. So the fighter, like, we just do our job. Our job's to fight. So we don't do the negotiating, the build up, and like, so we do the build up. We don't do like the stuff on the outside. All our job is to do is to train and fight, and that's it. Whereas there's also a lot of money going around and the entertainment side of it for the fight nights, and then who's fighting who next, what belts are on the line, sanctionings. So it's kind of like all we can do is our part. And example, like Meek versus Katie Taylor, the trilogy. I thought that was going to be happening next because it was kind of like I accepted everything. Katie Taylor, when she beat me, she said it in the ring, trilogy is next, and that's all she wanted, etc. But then it kind of just went, the fight's gone. So I've been left in the lurch for a few months thinking, what happened? Like, we both wanted the fight, it's 1-1. And Katie Taylor, she's a champion and she's got half a lion. So even now, I think it couldn't have been Katie because she knows that we can't walk away from this fight now when we both beat each other. And when she beat me, she didn't school me or anything. It was like there was a knockdown that didn't get scored. The head clashes, like she won, but it was a close fight. So there's no reason why we shouldn't be having the trilogy to settle the score. So it just makes me think like what went on. So that's the thing with boxers, that we are kind of left in the lurch and it's our lives. We put our life online when we're in the ring. We dedicate our life to it. We're in the gym. Like, I travel. So I'm from Northampton, but I travel to Sheffield now and we put everything into it. And sometimes it's just like, we're just a meal ticket. And it's really sad to say, but there's something I've learned and you just got to take it on the chin, where I've kind of learned now not to get emotionally attached to it because fights happen, fights don't, and it's one of them. And when I look back at my career, I'm going to know that I wanted to fight everyone. I wanted to make history and I wanted to push women's boxing. So that's all I can do. And everything else is out of my power.
That's an amazing mindset to have got to, but it's also like, it is really sad. Like, hearing really you say sad. That, I'm like, I think that, you know, not enough is spoken about really about that. And that you are, you know, at the behest of people who are, like you said, throwing all the money around and you're just there to do your job, to show up and fight. And unfortunately, you don't really have much of a say in terms of which way it goes. I think sometimes when we see these like big name boxers, you know, your Anthony Joshua's, Klitschko, all these people that have fought massive fights, I guess myself included, haven't really thought about the politics and the negotiations and all the stuff that goes on, I guess, even above their heads. That mean that they, you know, like you said, they have their job, which is to show up and fight. And yeah, it's a crazy sport. And I think I'm really fascinated by that sort of negotiation element and the stuff that goes on around the boxing. So one of the things that I'd love to know more about as someone who maybe doesn't or is just getting into following the sport more intensely is that negotiation side. So what really happens? Like, you want to fight someone, you want to retain or win a title. Like, how does it work in terms of getting in a ring with someone and having, you know, I guess, a proper boxing fight?
So it's a lot of like behind the scenes that goes on. So it's been quite a weird one because I'm mandatory for Katie Taylor now as well. So I was actually mandatory for Katie Taylor for 2 years. I couldn't tell you what year, but it was when I was a lightweight and I become mandatory for her WBC lightweight title for 2 years. And I never got the shot. it literally was like for 2 years I was waiting for an opportunity to fight her because I was mandatory. And it's kind of like when you're mandatory, your champion has to fight the mandatories to keep the belt. But mine was kind of like forgotten about.
Is she avoiding you?
This was years ago. Like we're talking like 6 or 8 years ago. And it was kind of like, why is my mandatory not being called? But she was fighting other mandatories. And it was like, doesn't make sense because I was a good opponent and the fight would sell, but my name wouldn't be mentioned. It was kind of like, so I was getting frustrated saying, what's going on? Like I've won this mandatory. Why is it not being forced? And so I lost in November. I thought the trilogy was going to be happening, but it hasn't. And then there was talks that Kate is going to fight her other mandatory. I can't tell you what organization, I'm not sure. But then my manager told me that I'm mandatory for 3 of the other belts. So I'm like, well, force the mandatory then, like do it again. Even though I knew last time it kind of didn't happen. But we have the power now to be like, I'm mandatory for 3 other belts. Like, I want my belts back. So let's force it. So I want the opportunity to fight for them belts again. So again, it's just kind of like waiting around. I don't know what's going to happen because it's gone so quiet. And obviously, I want to be back out fighting. All I know is that the negotiation should be me and Katie should be having this trilogy because it's not even just about the trilogy. It's the fact that I'm mandatory as well for 3 belts. And I was the champion and the belts were taken off me. So I should be getting that shot. But that's the thing with negotiations. It's kind of the boxer doesn't know. We just get told.
We'll be back after this.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Welcome back to Give Me Strength. Talking about preparing for a fight, there is a big process to get someone fight ready, and I'm fascinated by that process. So talk to me about that kind of journey of preparing for a fight from, I guess, as you said, going into, some people might not even know what camp means. Yeah. So going into camp and then preparing all the way up until the fight. What does that look like for you?
So usually it's like a 12-week camp, but obviously you cut weight. So you cut about 4 or 5 kilo up until your fight. So you start your diet, you start building your base fitness 12 to 8 weeks out where you build your engine. So you start to really build that engine and make your engine a lot stronger. And then from 8 weeks out, you probably start your sparring because you don't want to start sparring too soon either because sparring is where you get most of your little niggles and injuries. So you start your sparring and then as you get from 8 weeks to 4 weeks, your fitness is increasing. So your fitness is increasing. You're starting to feel a little bit sharper and with the weight coming off and that, you're a bit quicker and slicker. And then 4 weeks out, like your foot's really on the gas because it's the last bit of the weight cut. You've built your fitness, but you need to maintain it. So you're just doing like short, sharp. So keeping sharp, sparring is increased now because your weight's coming down. So you're on a calorie deficit, but you're still having to do your rounds and be strong in sparring. And then about 2 weeks out, a week out, you stop sparring completely and it's just short, sharp stuff. So even weights, like you won't be lifting heavy weights or nothing. It's just literally short and sharp, and the hard work's done, you're not going to get any fill, and then it's fight night.
And then it's fight night.
Yeah.
So when it comes to fight night, so it's the day of your fight, right? Talk me through the things that you're going to do to prepare yourself mentally and physically. Like, what are your non-negotiables in the lead up to a fight that get you in a good place?
So I'll go for a nice breakfast with the team, and then I love going for walks because I think being in a hotel or in a house or something for too long, and especially on fight day, your head goes crazy. Like you just can't do it. So have a nice breakfast. We'll go for a walk and get some fresh air. No matter the weather, it's like we have to go for a walk. And then I'll go to my room, have a nap, probably go back to sleep for a bit. And because usually I don't box until like 9, 10-ish, I have the whole day. So it's the day just drags. You're looking at the clock constantly thinking, this day is just not moving. So you're just kind of like lingering about, going down to the lobby, having a coffee with your team. But also you don't want to be around too many people because your mind's so focused on the fight and you're a bit snappy. So you have to like manage yourself with how many people you're around and who you're around, and go for like a lunchtime walk, go for another nap. And I always go for like a little walk with my mum and dad, just me and my mum and dad, or have a coffee with them just to like speak to them. And it's just like my thing. Like, I like just spending a bit of time with them before I fight. I have a couple of hours where I completely just shut off, don't see no one, lay in my bed. I either watch Netflix or play music. And then about an hour before I fight, I go and have like my biggest pamper-ish shower. And I do it all the time, like I can put a pamper. Just, I don't know what, I'm going to get sweaty, but I always did have a big pamper, and then get my fight kit and everything prepared and head over to the venue. But it's a weird day, and it's a hard day because you try not to think about the fight, but it's all you can think about. So you have to switch on and off. And sometimes you have to like snatch yourself out of your mind because you can overthink and it drains your energy. So it's a really hard day because you want to be as normal as you can without exerting energy, but without switching off too much, but without switching on too much. It's really hard to get the balance.
Fine balance. And like one of the things that always like I'm fascinated by with boxing is that the fights are so late. They're always like really late in the evening. And I just think to myself, like, I'm such a morning person. I'd be rubbish as a professional boxer because I'd be like going to sleep by the time the fight comes on. But like, how are you staying up until, because some fights are on at like midnight.
Yeah, so I usually always in bed by 11. Sometimes I've got some midnight, I'm thinking, God, I should be tucked up in bed. So the fight week, you change your body clock. So my strength and conditioning coach, he has me up about midnight, which is annoying, but it works. So at midnight, he had me in the gym just doing a mobility session, just so I'm up and about and moving. And it gets your body used to being moving at that time. On the fight week, we do that. We change my body clock. And I'll just have to make sure that I don't go to sleep at a certain time, which is hard because I'm always an early bird, and I love early nights, but fight week I have to change it and I have to force my eyes open. And I also take an energy gel before a box.
Yeah, you got to. When it comes to being in the ring, so you're facing an opponent, you're obviously going in, hopefully feeling super confident, but I'm sure you've had fights where you maybe don't feel so confident, but especially early on. But I guess now you're at a point in your career where you're starting to feel quite confident. What are the things that are going through your mind when you're fighting? Like, I think that something that some people maybe feel is misunderstood, perhaps, is the brutality of the sport. And of course, there is a brutal element to it. Like, as you've referenced across this conversation, like, you can get seriously hurt. There is the chance that you can really become quite badly injured. That is a small part of what makes up a bigger sport. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when you're in the ring, like, what's kind of going through your mind? And if you are taking those knocks, like, how are you dealing with them? Like, one of the things that just genuinely I'm fascinated by is, like, you know, you see people who have like their eyebrows split open or they're, you know, they've got a swelling coming off the side of the face and they just carry on. And it's like, it's a very specific mindset required to just keep going. So I just want to understand a little bit about that.
It's a win at all costs. So you're just literally looking at your opponent thinking, you're not beating me. And it's just, every boxer has an ego and we have too much pride where our egos get the better of us, and you have to be stubborn. And I think boxers have such a different mindset to most sports people because we are taking punches. And maybe most sports people do have egos, probably, but I think boxers definitely have a huge ego. And it's like bragging rights as well. Like, you lose, it's kind of, especially with the build-up in the press conference, and that when you're so confident, you're acting confident, and you put on a poker face because you may have had a rubbish camp, but you've got to tell everyone you had the most amazingest camp. You're injury free, it's doing fantastic. No camp is fantastic, and you've had an injury somewhere in that camp because you're putting your body and mind through absolute hell and taking a serious punishment. But you have to put a poker face on. And I think in the ring, like, even if you took a shot that's hurt you or you're cut, you just got to put it to the back of your mind and think, you're not beating me, because you know that you just got to win at all costs. And in the moment as well, like, you don't feel the pain. So in my last fight, I got a bad headbutt and it gashed my head open and blood was everywhere. And I hate blood, like, generally hate blood so much. I faint at blood, but because it was me and I knew that I couldn't lose, it just was at the back of my mind. And I just kept going and pushing, but I couldn't see the cut, but I knew it was bad because the doctors were trying to stop my fight. But it was just one of them where it's like, you just can't think about it. You just got to get on with it. And you just got to have that winning mentality where you think, you can't beat me and you're not going to beat me. So you just got to keep pushing forward.
Chantelle, I hope you don't mind me saying this. Please don't take offense. Yeah. But when you're sat there, you're just so lovely and so sweet and so, like, gentle. And I'm like, is this the same girl that like gets in the fight and has her head burst open and blood pouring down? And she's like, no, I'm keeping going.
It's
so hard seeing that different switch. Yeah. No, that's what I love. Like you just seem so gentle and sweet. Yeah. And I'm like, wow, that's the same girl.
I just think I like inflicting pain and don't mind taking pain. It's just a switch. That's why boxing and martial arts, we're quite strange people, because we're normal people, but we do have a switch where it is a brutal sport, and no fighter can get in the ring and think and not want to hurt their opponent, because you're in the wrong sport. As much as boxing is a beautiful sport and it is an art, you're in there to hurt your opponent because you want to win. And if you don't want to win, then you might as well never get in the ring. And it's just strange, because like, how can a human being think like that and be like that? Even now I'm thinking, even saying that, I think, oh, I sound like a nut and I sound crazy. But it's just because it's just something I just love doing. And I love being in the ring and having that like one-to-one where you are fighting and it's controlled, disciplined, but at the same time as you want to knock your opponent out and you want to stop them. You want to make sure that you win in good fashion. And you also want to perform.
This is why I'd be a terrible boxer, right? I literally apologize to like a chair if I walk into it. Like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, I could never imagine myself. I'd spend my whole entire time in the ring and be like, oh my God, are you all right? Sorry.
Hit him in the nose. Oops.
Yeah, literally. Oh, sorry. Now, listen, I want to hear about your entry songs. Like, what's your favorite? So, like, the entry in boxing, as we all know, is a big part of the fight, right? Like, you're walking out, you got your team around you. Like, what are your songs that you're going for?
It always changes. Some people always have the same song, but mine always changes depending on my mood. So before, I'd literally would pick my song on fight week, because I'd have so many different, like, I couldn't make my mind up. And I'll just, last minute, I'd be like, well, I'm going to go for this. And, you know, it'll be on my last run, what I'm feeling. And I'm thinking, yeah, this is the one. So I've had UB40 before, I've had house music.
Love it.
I've literally had like the most randomest entry songs. But my last two fights in Ireland, Hannah Wants, the DJ done my music, and it was my best.
Love her.
Yeah, and it was my best ring waltz, because the first one we had Bob Marley, Don't Worry, and then remixed into her songs and original Nutter and stuff, and then my last one was really good, because it was some of my favourite drum and bass songs all mixed in, and it was a proper buzz, because it got me hyped. So I always love changing that. But it depends on my mood. So Dublin, I felt like I had to go a bit drum and bassy, a bit rough to get like me pumped up and kind of pipe the crowd down. But the first fight with Bob Marley, to try to settle the crowd, thinking, no one would boo to Bob Marley, he's a legend. And you hear Bob Marley and everyone's happy and everyone smiles. I thought, I go for a bit of Bob Marley, and that worked the treat. But the second one, I thought, oh, do you know what? I'm just going to go a bit grimy here and went for drum and bass.
Has it ever happened where two boxers have the same song that they walk out to?
I don't think so, because the DJ would, because you have to give your record in like a day or two before.
Oh, fine.
The DJ
fine.
Will say,
I was
going
to say, that would be so awkward.
I wouldn't change my song. I'd be like, no, it's set now. Then I can change.
So good. Now, look, you sort of spoke a couple of times across this conversation about wanting to get more young girls and women into boxing. And I love that that's a big part of your ambition. What are some of the things that you think will help women into the sport, especially as well, sort of young girls and younger women, to, you know, see it as a possibility, as a career, even if it's just a hobby or doing amateur boxing? What are some of the things that you think help in that area?
Not everyone has to be a fighter. And not everyone has to get in the ring and compete, because you don't. Boxing is just a beautiful sport to watch and to train in. So it's such a good workout as well. Whereas people who do end up going to boxing, they're a bit intimidated to begin with, because they think if you go to a boxing gym, you're going to get punched, but you're not. So if you go to a good gym, they're not going to get you in the ring, and you're not going to take no punches. You're just going to hit bags, hit pads, and have a laugh and go with your friends and have the social aspect of it as well. So I think more awareness of that is, anyone can go to a boxing gym, and it doesn't mean you're going to get broken nose. If you want to spar or you want to fight, you can take that path, but it's not for everyone. But just training is such a good workout, and it's fun and it's a laugh, and you can have such a buzz from it. But for the fighting aspect of it, I think more eyes on the sport, more eyes on women's boxing, looking at the positives of it, and probably gyms that have a bit more women's only classes to begin with, so that women feel comfortable, because it is quite intimidating going into a boxing gym full of big men, big boxing men that are sparring and punching the lights out of each other. So maybe like a stepping stone into the boxing gym by having just a women's class, building a women's confidence, making them feel like they're going to be okay and it's enjoyable, and then going into the main boxing classes. I think just making a pathway so there's kind of like an easier route into it, because it is quite intimidating. I was intimidated years ago. And
for
I can
sure.
See
yeah,
when
yeah.
women come now, it is intimate, especially if they come on their own. So I think to go with a friend or go to a women's only class and start from there, and only fight if you want to fight. If you go into the boxing gym and you think, oh, I wouldn't mind to having a spar, then get a gum shield and have a go at it and enjoy it, and make sure that the coach, again, is looking after you and not putting you in with someone who's 10, 20 fights in, like, let you have a move out with someone who control their power and not take advantage, or put you in with another beginner.
Really good advice. And look, I literally, and you were saying that it's a great workout, and a lot of my audience know that I'm big into my boxing right now. Yeah. And I feel the fittest I've ever felt. And I know that that's very unsubstantiated, because I can't prove it. But like, you know, when you just feel like physically really fit, like I can't tell you, I feel my best I've ever felt right now. And it's because like I just committed. So I was like, right, I'm going to box twice a week. And it genuinely came from a place of like, I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
I love the feeling of like, I just box in a bag and do like, you know, the kind of that side of things. But it's conditioning, exactly. But I feel incredible.
And it's so fun.
So fun. Yeah. It's so fun. And it's me personally, like it's the perfect blend of mental and physical exertion. When I'm boxing on the bag, I can't tell you the amount of things that go through my head. And having said that, I'm like that person that apologizes to a chair. It is nice to have something that you can just, you know, we all have like pent up stress.
Yeah,
it is. It's amazing. It's so good for your mind.
I say this to people, like if you're having a bad day at work or you're really stressed, or women that suffer with anxiety or maybe not having a great home life, or everyone's got different circumstances, haven't they? But they can go to a boxing gym and they can let everything out, because you're not going to hurt a bag. A bag's not going to hit your back. You're going to be with someone who's a skilled pad man, and you're going to let so much out where you can't punch walls in your house because you're going to cause damage. And you're like, you can't get angry and punch a wall because you're going to make a hole in your wall and you got to pay to fix it. Or you can't punch whoever's annoying you because you're going to get in trouble. So go to a boxing gym and let all the steam out. It's the best way to vent and get rid of any stress, any anxiety. And just afterwards, you feel amazing. You feel $1 million. You can go in there with the world on your shoulder and you're going to come out like a new woman. And I really do believe that. Because you just let rid of everything.
Couldn't agree more. It is the best. It's like, I'm a huge fan. Yeah. Now, look, I would love to ask you about your goals and ambitions. What do you want to achieve? I know that there's so many things that you probably have on the horizon in terms of things that you'd like to do. But in the next 5 years, what are the things that you really have at the top of your list?
So the main thing is actually I want to open up my own gym. So I'm in talks with the Northampton Council now, but obviously it's a long process. But I want to open up my own gym. I want to not just build my own champions, but I also want to have a community. So where people can come and not just a boxing gym, I want it to be a multi-gym. So it's got everything. So it's the members have a nice pool spa. And obviously, like, people probably think, oh, she's deluded. And the big dreams of it, that's where I got and achieved what I am, because I've always had big dreams of it and I have achieved them. If I set my mind to something, I usually do it. So I've set my mind to this, and obviously I'll start smaller, but in the end, I know that I'm going to achieve the gym that I want and the full capacity. So for that, on a personal level, that's what I want to do. I really want my own gym, and it's something I'm really passionate about, and I can't wait to achieve it, because I can give back then to everything that I've achieved. I can give back to someone else, and there's nothing more that I would love than to have my own champions, boys, girls, like anyone. Like, it would just, I want to give someone a journey and look after them. So the from boxing, the highs and lows, and this, even being stabbed in the back, like, people don't talk about it and I don't really talk about it, but there has been times I've been stabbed in the back by people I trust and love the most. I want to make sure that I can give my fighters that love and the shoulder where they know that that's never going to happen to them. I'm going to look after them, because I've been through that and I want to give them everything that I didn't get, maybe, or the stuff that went wrong for me, and make sure they don't have the stuff like that, and just be open, transparent with them, and look at them, give them a good career, and know that they can always trust me. And it's not just a business. I want to actually care for my fighters. And so I really want to do that. And also, again, to women, is especially, I'm a massive advocate for domestic abuse. I want to have a big impact with domestic abuse, so sufferers can come to my gym and, again, have their own sessions and have people work with me to help them, not just in boxing, but the mental aspect of it, and give them guidance and trying to build their confidence and feel like I am. I feel like a strong woman, and that they can feel like that too, not just from boxing, but just from like the mindset and how they can look at different aspects of life and that. And for boxing, it's kind of, I've achieved what I wanted to achieve in boxing, so it's quite hard for me. I have done what I wanted to do. I've become undisputed. I beat Katie Taylor. For me now, I'm going to have some fun. I've had a hard journey in boxing, like, and that's not even getting the violin out. That's not making like people feel sorry for me or being hard done by, but it has been a hard journey and I'm proud of what I've achieved. So for me now, I've learned not being so emotionally attached to it. And especially since my loss, I took the loss really bad. And what I've learned from it is never deal with it the way I dealt with it and look at it from a different aspect. So for me now, I'm just going to have fun with boxing. I've got nothing to achieve. I've done what I wanted to do, and I'm going to enjoy every moment now of the last chapter of my career. And I just kind of go with the flow, and whatever happens, happens. And everything that's promised to you, it may never happen. Until you see a contract and a fight's announced, you don't know what's going to happen. So don't get stuck up on it, and just go over the flow. I'm just going to be chilled about it.
What a lesson. And wow. And also, please, if you do open your gym, if and when, yeah, I'm sure it's going to happen, please message me. I'd love to come down and support you. That sounds incredible. And especially, I don't know if you know this, but I am an ambassador for Women's Aid, and I do a lot for domestic abuse as well. I'd love to be able to help in any way if I can.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Thank you so much, Chantal. It was really interesting to get an insight into your career and your lifestyle as a boxer and your amazing achievements. So I'm really grateful for your time, and yeah, excited to see what's to come.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks for having me on.
So thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I'll be back on Friday for my Ask Alice. Again, if you have any questions for that, send us an email to the email that's in the show notes. If you are enjoying the podcast and you'd like to hear a little more from me, I am so excited to announce that I have just written my latest book, Give Me Strength: How I Turned My Back on Restriction, Nurtured the Body I Love, and How You Can Too. It comes out in July and is available for pre-order now. And it's the book I wish I had read when I was really struggling with body image and exercise addiction. And so if this sounds like something that might help you, you can find the link to get your copy in the show notes now. I'll be back next Wednesday for my next episode, and I look forward to speaking to you then. Give Me Strength is an Insanity Studios production.